Good morning, everybody. This is Will, and you're listening to Two Man Congress. So a couple weeks ago, Chad and I talked about immigration and citizenship, and what immigration looked like and citizenship. And we talked about one of the categories of immigration, and those were people who are refugees or asylum seekers. And Chad and I, we discussed it briefly, but we didn't go over it very thoroughly. And that was something that Chad talked to me about after that episode, is that was something that he wished that we had talked about more thoroughly. And, well, it's something that I wish that we had talked about more thoroughly as well. But after doing a lot more research, I feel better prepared to share some thoughts about refugees and asylum seekers. So in this episode, we're going to talk about refugees and asylum seekers, who they are, and what is the main difference between refugees and asylum seekers. We're going to talk about the process to be considered as a refugee or an asylee, and then we're going to talk about the implications, both political and personal, meaning how can we help refugees and asylum seekers. And at the end of all this, we're going to have a special announcement that hopefully will be beneficial to everybody listening in helping refugees. So who are refugees and asylum seekers? Well, they are people who have fled their country of origin or are fleeing their country of origin to seek protection from another country. There is a legal definition of refugee, and that definition is: the term refugee means any person who is outside any country of such person's nationality, or in the case of a person having no nationality, is outside any country in which the person last habitually resided, and who is unable or unwilling to return to, or is unable or unwilling to avail himself or herself of the protection of that country because of the persecution or well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership, or membership in a particular group, or political opinion. So, in other words, anybody who's fleeing the country because of their political opinions, race, nationality, or membership to a particular group, and have fear of persecution because they are affiliated with those identifying factors. So what's the main difference between refugees and asylees? Well, the main difference is actually only procedure. So an asylum seeker needs to follow the definition of a refugee, but they are already living in the state they are seeking to claim asylum. So this follows the example of a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not always a square. So an asylum seeker is a refugee, but they are currently already residing in the state that they fled to and are hoping to receive protection from that state. So they apply for asylum after they have already made it. So using this example of a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not always a square. In this example, refugees can be considered rectangles while asylum seekers are considered squares. But the issue with this example is they're different terms. So even though there is overlap, you can only either be a refugee or you can either be an asylum seeker. Even though you're like an overlap of both, if you're an asylum seeker, it's only one or the other term that you can actually adopt. So you're a refugee, but if you're living in that country before, the procedure says that you're going to be claiming for asylum and you need to follow the procedure to claim asylum. So what are some of the statistics for asylum seekers and the refugees? Well, the UNHCR has a lot of data. As of June of 2021, there were 82.4 million people who were displaced worldwide, and 26.4 million of those people are considered refugees, with about 13 million being under 18 years old. 4.1 million of those people are asylum seekers, and like I said, that number is different. It's not part of the refugee status because it's a different status. So there are 26.4 million refugees, and then an additional 4.1 million asylum seekers, and all those people are seeking protection so they could be protected from their state of origin. So from this data, most of the refugees came from Syria, Venezuela, or Afghanistan, or South Sudan, with 6.7 million of those refugees coming out of Venice, out of Syria alone. So this is older data. This is June of 2021. And there have been some major big events that have happened since June of 21, specifically the invasion or the conflict currently going on in Ukraine that started on February 24th. Since that conflict started, there have been over 3 million refugees and 2 million who are internationally displaced. So that's 5 million people who have been displaced, with 3 million who have already left the country and have obtained that refugee status. So let's talk about some of the process of what it takes to be considered a refugee or an asylum seeker. The USCIS, which is the United States Organization for Immigration, breaks it down into 7 steps. But to simplify, I'm going to break it down into 4. Step 1 is that you need to be referred as a refugee by the UNHCR so that you can obtain refugee status. Step 2 is that you need to go through a medical screening. Step 3 is a security screening, and I'm going to add on to that a biographical background check. And then step 4 is an admission of admission of refugee by the state that they are currently fleeing to. So you're admitted to the state. So if you're fleeing to the United States, step 4 would be boarding the plane and landing in the United States. So what is the UNHCR? The UNHCR stands for United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. This commission was organized in 1951 to address the needs of refugees. Specifically, it was organized to address the needs of refugees after World War II. They had 3 years to complete their work, and then they were planned to be disbanded. But lots of other emergencies continue to arise where people were displaced worldwide. And the UNHCR has received enough funding and has been very functional in helping millions and millions of refugees worldwide ever since the 1950s. So how many refugees are in the United States? I could only find data for refugees who were in the United States up through 2020. 2021 data has not come out yet, and obviously there's going to be a large amount of data coming through 2022, but no, we don't have that data yet. In 2019, there was a ceiling, so that means that's the limit of how many refugees the United States could take. The ceiling was 30,000 refugees, and then they nearly met that ceiling, accepting 29,916 refugees. 2020 ceiling was 18,000 refugees, with nearly 12,000 refugees coming to the United States. And that was actually the lowest ceiling that has been set by the United States since the program started in 1980. So what are some of the implications, both policy, community, there's just a political implications and then personal implications of refugees coming to the United States and fleeing these war-torn areas? Well, there are a couple of implications. The first implication, as far as political goes, is there's going to be some policy implications. The United States is going to determine how many refugees it can accept and how many refugees it can support. So there's going to be some policy implications shaping that number, as well as some budget into how much money can be spent to help these refugees to become resettled. There's also going to be some community implications where refugees are brought in, resettled into communities throughout the United States, and a lot of these communities need to know how to, well, first of all, accept and then help refugees to be resettled. As far as personal implications, you alone can choose whether or not you want to help refugees. And of course, there are going to be refugees who are bad people, and there are going to be refugees who are good people. But these are people who have been displaced from their homes, who are fleeing. because of the issues that are going on in their country. And you alone can choose whether or not you want to help these people, first of all, flee, and then second of all, and to become resettled. And so that's really where this big announcement is coming in that Chad and I want to do, is we want to help you help refugees. Like I said before, these are people who are on the road with very little means to support themselves because of the conflict that is going on in their country. The reason why Chad and I started this podcast is because we wanted to help people. And we wanted to help people know how to help other people in both the political realm and as also being a human in the humanitarian field. And there are currently people who need help. These refugees have fled their country, 3 million of them from Ukraine, 6.7 million coming from Syria, and ultimately 26 million refugees worldwide as of 21. So that number's only grown. So I've donated to help these refugees, and I want to help you to do the same thing as well. So anybody who joins Patreon between now, March 21st, and the end of April, so that's April 30th, we will donate the first 2 months of their membership to help the refugees. So this does two things. First of all, it's going to help the refugees, which is our main priority. As long as we can get them that help, that's all we care about. That money does two things. First, it helps to establish travel, because that's the first step, is getting out of danger. And then step two is to help them establish a shelter, a safe place to sleep. And then step three is resettlement. This money that we would be donating would help them to meet those needs. And then later, after those first 2 months, if you really like what we're sharing with the podcast, then it would help out the podcast. So that's our announcement. We feel like it's something that would be beneficial to you, beneficial to us, and of course, most of all, beneficial to the refugees who are fleeing because of the conflict going on. So we hope that you'll join us in making this difference to help those who are in danger worldwide. That's all I got for today. We'll see you guys next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is, if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't our pre-law materials, and the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice, and with that, the fourth thing is, if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.